Well, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. We're not going to do the what's sometimes called the whole Christmas story. We'll take just a thought tonight. Matthew chapter 2. I think it wouldn't hurt us to read a number of verses here, maybe about 10 of them. And I want you to look at the thought here under my theme tonight, or all I'm going to comment on anyway, is going to be on the star. On the star. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, I could go through all this. We count three wise men that don't really say three, but because they had three different gifts, we think it was three. Truthfully, I think they had a big entourage of people coming from that distance and so forth, and they were wise. They were wise enough to outsmart Herod. Amen. Anyway, let's just not deal with that so much tonight, all the detail. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. Calls it his star here. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, with all Jerusalem with him. He was an usurper on the throne. He was afraid that he was going to lose the recount. Amen. Verse 4. And we had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And of course, this is from Micah 5:2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That day is yet going to come. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. The star is prominent here now. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. He was lying, spinning, so forth. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I want to talk to you a little bit about the star here. One of the questions that's raised sometime, did they just see his star or did it move? You could quit reading right up at the front and think maybe they just saw his star. I was sitting in seminary class 100 years ago and had a good professor. He come in that morning and it was getting close to time for Christmas break. And He said to the class, we were just beginning to unpack our books, open our bookcases and so forth. And he said, how many of you think the star moved? And somebody said, yeah. He said, no, it didn't. And I hadn't got my Bible out of my case yet. And my friend sitting across, some of you know him, Brother E.J. Brinson, he'd gotten his out. And I said, let me have your Bible. And I opened it up here and I stood up and said, let me read verse 9. Says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. I said, sure sounds to me like it moved. He looked at me and said, Mickey, you flunk. No, he didn't. He looked at me and he said, you're right. He said, that's what I get for listening to a preacher on the radio on the way into class this morning. Now, it did move. It didn't just appear in the sky. 2 years has gone by. If you'll read this close, you'll find out he's not in the manger now. He's not there. He's in a house. And so when Herod said, kill the babies from 2 years old and down, he was giving himself plenty of leeway to make sure he killed the Christ child. And so some time had passed. The wise men did not show up at the time the shepherds saw the angels. They were not there. I don't care what your nativity scene looks like. The wise men were not there for close to 2 years later. Yeah, I know, we get them all together and all that. But anyway, no harm done, I don't guess. But You read your Bible sometime, it sure messes up tradition. Anyway, here's the question. Did it move? Yeah, it moved. It's often called the Star of Bethlehem. I'm going to tell you something I have heard a time or two, and I don't know much about it. I suspect it is nothing more than folklore. But I had a guy, a good man, that come to church here quite a bit. I think he's still alive, and good Bible student. He told me this story. Now, how many of you through the years, you've heard the mention of the Star of Bethlehem? You've heard that. We heard that. All right. He said his grandmother, I believe it was his grandmother, or his wife's grandmother, they were all talking as it got near Christmas time one time, and she said, you know, we don't celebrate Christmas like we used to. And he said, Grandma, how'd we used to do it? Now, he's about as old as me now, maybe not quite. Very few are, but anyway, he's on up there. So she had to be pretty old, too. And he said, well, Grandma, how'd we do it in the old days? She said, well, said, as it got to be, and I believe it was Christmas Eve. Now, it could have been Christmas Day night. Christmas Eve, I'm thinking in my mind, is what he told me. He said, well, Grandma said we used to stay up till midnight, till almost midnight. Said we would read the scripture and we'd pray, and then we'd go out and look for the Star of Bethlehem to show up. And she said, sometimes it would. So he pinned the time down and exactly how they did it in the old days. This is his story. I'm repeating it as close as I can. He said, my wife and I and little old Chihuahua dog we had walked out behind the house into what we would call a cow pasture, a big piece of open ground. He said at 5 minutes to midnight or five after an exact time we were supposed to be there, he said we looked up to the eastern sky and sure enough a light started coming. And it come really fast, faster than you. And he said, and it got not far from us and come down in the field. And he said it was the strangest light. It didn't look like, airplane light or something, or helicopter, no noise, totally quiet. Said it come down, and you could see where it lit up the ground around. Said we stood there and said even the little old dog was trembling. And he said, then it went away. I couldn't tell you which direction it went away. He said, so sure enough, we told Grandma we saw the Star of Bethlehem. Now, that I've told that, has anybody ever heard anything like that? Not a one. All right. That's what he told me. Hand on my Bible. Good man. I have, before he told me that, heard a little bit of that tradition. And I thought it was just talk and just folklore. Chimney corner stories. That's probably maybe all it is. But I'd never had anybody personally tell me for the truth that they actually had seen it. There was one Hollywood movie, some kind of Western, bad guys. I forget who it was. They actually one night out there in the movie, one of the guys looked up and he said, I see the Star of Bethlehem. Said, you got to look just close to see it. So it is some kind of talk that's going on through the years. Could it be? I don't know. I just know this, the star was there. All the astronomers and all the scientists through the years have tried to tell us what the Star of Bethlehem was. They've said it was a planet. They've said it was some kind of phenomena, and to explain it naturally, of course, not supernaturally. They don't believe in the supernatural. And I've heard it called planet Venus and so forth. But no, it isn't. Star Venus, I guess. I've heard it called various things. But I think it was special. I think God did it. I think it had a purpose. I have no doubt to read it just like it sounds in the scripture, that it took them from their trip from the Mideast, these wise men, And close to 2 years later, it's still, and it went over and stood over the house. Now, I don't know how close the houses were together, but to identify the right house, even if they were a quarter mile apart, it had to move and it had to come to take them to the exact place where they could see the Christ child. Now, I pose this question: does God use natural phenomena? Maybe it's supernatural phenomena. I believe he does. In Romans 1, we're told that we're without excuse if we don't observe God from the witness of his creation. Creation itself, the tree, the rocks, the stars. Abraham Lincoln said, a man is a fool to look into the heavens and say there's no God. He's right. So God uses his own creation as a witness. Did he use phenomena in the Bible? I think Noah's flood was a pretty good shower. You know, he used that, didn't he? Sure he did. How about the plagues in Egypt? Didn't he do some things with phenomena there? Yes, he did. How about the Red Sea parting? That don't happen every day. But river, the wall of water on each side and let the children of Israelite cross on dry ground. How about, and look at a verse or two. Go with me to Exodus 13 and 14. And look at it here with me just a moment. When they leave Egypt, Pharaoh changes his mind. He comes after them. He finally backs them up to the Red Sea, and God had to part the Red Sea. But God had some other phenomena going on also. Look at it in chapter 13 and verse 21. It says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Now, don't you imagine that was a strange looking cloud? Every now and then on the Weather Channel, they'll show you some strange looking cloud. Pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. Now, if we go over to chapter 14, we'll find out God had a purpose in the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day. The cloud led them, but you'll find out God wanted to keep the Egyptian army away from them. So, let me try to pick it up here in just a moment. I want to look at verses 19 through 24, I believe, of chapter 14 of, let's pick it up in verse 19. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. God kept the Egyptian army at bay, that they couldn't make a night raid on the camp of Israel, and he did it with supernatural phenomena. He used the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. You can have so many cases in the Bible where you see God do something. You remember Elijah was having a pity party, and God let the wind blow and the earthquake come, but then spoke to him in a small voice, but he got his attention with a phenomena, didn't he? And then he took him up with a phenomena. He took him up with a whirlwind and in the chariot of fire. So God can use those things. He used it when Joshua needed a little more time and gave him a long day. Remember when Joshua cried out for the sun to stand still? Now they'll argue that could not be. Well, it is, because the Bible says so. And I've told you before, scientists even think they have found the missing day in two different parts, and the other part being where Hezekiah asked Isaiah the prophet to let the sundial go backwards instead of forwards. Could be. You've probably seen tracts written on that a number of years ago. What I want to say to you, though, is that God does use it. He did in the past, and he promises he will in the future. He's still the same God today. Amen? Now keep in mind what we read there about the pillar of the cloud. I'm going to ask Brother Case up in the tape room to run the screen down. This is very recent, it's only a minute or so long. It happened recently in a place that some of us that have been to Israel, we've been right there, and we know exactly this location. And I believe it's just a picture up there. That's it, Raven. I'm going to let you listen to the sound. Okay, what you just saw was Israeli soldiers out there standing on the border between Israel and Syria at the Golan Heights. That's the border right there. Where the cloud was, it had come and lined itself up across the border, doing just what you saw, and the soldier boys were taking pictures of it and talking about it because it was holding back the enemy from crossing the border to where they were. This is the courtesy of the Gentile Ministries. Brother Ken Lee works with it, and Brother Brian Sharp, and so this is fresh. This just come in. It was a phenomenon enough the soldier boys really saw something. When I was in Israel, Scotty, you remember, we went up to the Golan Heights, and you remember that the Six-Day War had taken place, and you remember what a time it was. We stayed in the kibbutz, the farm down at the bottom of the Golan Heights. And something I'll never forget is when Zeph took us up into the bunkers that the Syrians poured concrete up in the mountains. The jet airplanes could not blow them out. They had the gun slits in it. And were shooting down on the kibbutzes, the farms, and on the Israeli soldiers literally had to go up there through the barbed wire and by hand defeat the Syrians. They had to go into those bunkers. And we went in there. Scotty, you remember, we went in there and we saw the chains where the Syrians, the Arabs, had chained their soldiers around the ankle and chained them to the floor. They had to fight to death. They could not run. And our Jewish guide pointed out the fact that our captains, our leaders lead us. They brought them in here and chained them, and then they left. And we had to go in and kill them hand to hand in those bunkers. It was a thing to see. That's exactly where that picture's made. See, high ground has advantage over low ground. And so the border right there, where you saw that cloud, God was, we don't know for sure. Maybe some more information will come out. We don't know for sure what the cloud was protecting from, but it was working. It was holding the enemy back, just like you read in the Bible. The pillar of cloud by day led them, the pillar of fire kept the Egyptian armies away from them until they were able to amass at the Red Sea and finally part. The Red Sea finally parted and delivered Moses and the Israelites across. Now, is God able to do that sort of thing today? If you'll go back, and Scotty, you remember some of the stories even that Zeph told us of the 67 Six-Day War, all the different miracles that have taken place on Israel's side during the wars, 67, 73, Yom Kippur War, the stories that come out where a whole platoon of the enemy would surrender to one Jewish soldier. And he would march them into camp. And they would ask the question, why did you surrender to one man? It wasn't one man, it was that shining army he had with him. Those stories over and over. And of course, the Arabs explain it that It was Americans with secret weapons. That's right, that's their explanation. And they talk about some silver disc. They talk about some vehicle in the air coming and blowing out, shooting on them. And they said that was America's secret weapon, but it wasn't. It wasn't America doing that. It was God intervening. And after this election, what we got happening right now with the president, I told the teachers tonight, he's like a fellow that's lived in a house and he's got to move and let somebody come in. And he don't like who's coming in, so he's breaking up all the furniture and the windows before he leaves. You relate to that? That's what Obama's doing right now. And part of it is hassling Israel right now. Other part, he's tried to fix a thing where we can't drill in the ocean waters. You saw that. He's also letting the refugees, opening the borders, bringing them in by the thousands as fast as he can before he leaves the office. So that's what I'm talking about when I say he's breaking up the furnishings before he moves out. It's something you ought to really pray about, because it's going to get worse and worse. It's amazing what he's done in about 2 weeks' time. Anyway, with all that said, I'm just saying God is in the phenomena. He was with the Star of Bethlehem. He has yet got some more ahead. He still on occasion does, like you saw in the film, for some crucial reason, he intervenes. Many stories we could tell about that. In our day, various phenomena is happening. In the midst of all the election, we didn't notice, but earthquakes were happening right and left, big time. Storms, and by the way, folks up north last week has decided global warming is not true. It's a joke, the stuff that's pushed. But God can use his creation for good or bad anytime that he wants to. Now the star we talked about, if you go back in the Old Testament, if you go back to Numbers chapter 24, you'll find it was predicted. They should have been watching for it. It was a sign they should have been looking for. In Numbers chapter 24, you have the story of the hireling prophet by the name of Balaam, a bad guy. He wanted to curse Israel, but God wouldn't let him. And so when he opened his mouth to curse Israel, God would make him instead bless Israel. Unusual thing. And here's what he says in verse 17 of chapter 24 of Numbers. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star. See the big letters in your King James? S-T-A-R, star. A star out of Jacob, that's out of Israel. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Sheph. Now, who's he talking about? The star is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he said he's not coming quick. It's not nigh, but he is coming. And he tells what he's going to do. So the religious Jews should have been watching for the star. It's a shame, so to speak, that the wise men have to come from way off to point out the star when the local Pharisees didn't. And it wasn't they didn't know the prophecy, because they did. Because when Herod asked, they were telling him, yes, Micah said it'd be the city of Bethlehem. But while they knew it was in the Bible, they didn't believe it. And folks, we're just about as guilty as the Pharisees sometime. It's in the Bible. Do we really believe it or just say we believe it? For instance, is Jesus coming again or not? We believe it? Yeah, I believe it. No, I don't know when, but he's coming. Now, in Matthew 24:30, the second coming is dealing at the end of the tribulation period, I believe. I believe it's dealing with the coming in glory to set up his kingdom, to defeat the Antichrist at the end of the tribulation period. But you know what it says in Matthew 24:30? It says, the sign of the Son of Man. Must be a particular sign, the sign. Every word in the Bible, we pay attention to it. The is the definite article. So not just a sign, but the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. I don't know what the sign will be, but it'll be a time near the end of the trib, probably just before the Battle of Armageddon breaks open. Jesus is coming back with the armies of heaven, Revelation 19. And God's going to let them see a sign, the sign of the Son of Man. And according to Revelation chapter 6, when they see it, they're going to start mourning and crying and asking for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. I don't know what the sign will be. If God could have a star obey him at the birth, he'd have whatever phenomena he wants. Could it be a star again? I mean, it was the star that Balaam prophesied of in Numbers. Could it be a star again? I don't know. I don't know. But I know he is coming. And even the enemy, to some degree, knows that he's coming. And the Battle of Armageddon will be the nations of the world out there to stop the Creator, the Son of God, from coming back and setting up his kingdom. And he'll have to rule, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. That's a far cry from a little innocent baby being born in a manger somewhere. But like you've heard in the singing, he is going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. That's no doubt about it. The Vatican has their telescope out in Arizona looking for the star child to return. That's what the Pope said Jesus might be. E.T., extraterrestrial. That's what you got all over your TV and all the junk that's going on. I don't know how it's going to exactly pan out. I don't know how long we've got. Maybe a number of other Christmases are going to come and go. I don't know. Maybe, and I'm praying that we might have bought a little time for our grandkids in America, but I'm not sure we did. I think with all of Donald Trump's crudeness, we ought to pray for him. Amen. Ought to pray for him to stay alive, number one. Number two, to do at least half what he's promised. But he'll be like Nehemiah. He'll be having to fight that other crowd every inch of the way. He'll have to be fighting them. So it's not easy times. Let's not do what Christians did when Ronald Reagan got elected. We had really mounted up a movement because we were in a mess. We were in a mess under Jimmy Carter. We were just really in a big mess. And so Christians kind of woke up and we put Ronald Reagan in office. But then we relaxed and quit. We just, oh boy, we done it. The devil don't relax and quit. And we've seen that even since the election. If you watched any news at all, you've seen that. And he has not quit. The same people that prayed and then voted can still make a difference if we keep on doing it. Let's not quit. I hope we all enjoy Christmas and enjoy family, and we're excited about our family coming, and I know that you are too. All of that. I hope you have a good time. I hope your health holds. Pray for those, though, that will have to celebrate Christmas in the hospital or something else. Been several funerals lately, and they don't stop just because it's Christmas time. But of all things, if we can get a chance with family, friends, whoever we cross paths with, let's try to get in a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's stand, please. All right, Brother Hector is coasting off of what they've already done. And they've done a good job, so we'll get by this Sunday. But and by the way, folks, use Christmas to invite folks to church. Some of them will come just because of that. And we'd rather, and while we joke about it sometime, let's be thankful maybe we can get them to hear the gospel. Invite them to come. Father, may you add your blessings. Thank you, Father, that we see you're in charge. Lord, we know the star was predicted. We know that you used it. And Father, you used it concerning the first coming of your Son. I don't know what you're going to use and are using before the second coming, but we know he is coming back. Thank you now for the season, and thank you for the blessings we know because of Jesus. Bless our families that are traveling, and help us, Lord, to lift Christ up to everybody we can. And we ask it in his precious name. Amen.